Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
Appreciate the opportunity to be here and to be able to preach this morning. And I'm really excited to see what God has in store for this week. And just to see the teens of this community come out and, you know, have a good time. But more importantly, hear the Word of God preached and hear the gospel. And my prayer is that souls will be saved even this week and each night even. You know, we just pray that God will do something special through Neighborhood Bible Time. And I'm excited to get to know some of you a little bit and just be able to spend this week with you. And so as we already read in Exodus chapter 4, we're speaking about Moses, or Moses was, you know, God called him to bring a message to Pharaoh saying, "Let my people go," as they were in bondage with Egypt. And so that's where we're picking up here today. The message is entitled, "When the Impossible Becomes Possible." You see, we can do a lot of things and some pretty amazing things. There was a man named Jim Sherman who was blind, and he was just in his house on a normal day, and he just, you know, just in his house like normally would be doing. I don't know what he was doing, but he was in his house, and he heard some cries from the neighbor, it sounded like, and he could just hear some screaming. And so he went to his door, and he opened his door, and he heard his neighbor lady screaming for help. She was yelling, "Fire, my house is on fire." And he realized that this was his neighbor, the lady next door, who was also blind. They were both blind, so he realized that she needed help. She was trapped in her house, and house was on fire, so he began making his way over to her house, and, you know, he'd feel along the fence, and he would go down the driveway and feel along the bushes, and he made his way to her house, he got to the door, he said, "Just keep telling me where you're at, tell me where you're at," she kept crying out to him, he made his way in the house and found her, and was able to rescue her from that fire. A blind man saving a blind lady from a fire. That's pretty amazing. That's a heroic act. Excuse me. It's amazing what people can do, but that's possible. That's a possible thing to do. There's a lot of amazing things that we as humans can do, but today we're going to talk about the impossible, things that are impossible. You know, you think about the creation. You know, obviously that's nothing I can do. That's nothing you can do. The creation, the flood, you know, God is the only one that can send a flood. The parting of the Red Sea, that's not something Moses did. That's something God did. You know, the sun standing still, the virgin birth, feeding of the 5,000, so many other miracles that Jesus did that we couldn't do. Those things are impossible. The resurrection of Christ, we can't come back from the dead on our own power, but Christ can raise from the dead, and Christ can raise others from the dead. Things that are impossible. Your conversion to Christ. God saving, God redeeming sinful mankind. That's nothing we can do. That's impossible. But with God, it is possible. So today, I want you to know that God wants to use you. God wants to use you, and God can use you. And God will use you if you believe he will, and if you obey him. God wants to use you, he can use you, he will use you if you will simply believe and obey him. And that's what we're going to look at today. With Moses, God can use you in spite of your weakness. God can use you in spite of your weakness. You see, we all have weaknesses, but that's what God wants to use. God wants to use our weaknesses. Why? Because God wants the glory. God wants the glory. God deserves the glory. And so God likes using weak people. And we're going to see as Moses in this passage, he began to make excuses. He began to make some excuses here. And if you want to look at chapter 3 and verse number 11, chapter 3 and verse number 11, and Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh?" God called him to go to Pharaoh to bring a message saying, "Let my people go." And Moses said, "Who am I? There's so many other mighty men here that you could use. Who am I? Why would you use me? Why would you use me?" And you may be thinking the same thing. Who am I? How could God use me? Why would God use me? Folks, God can use you. God wants to use you. God wants to use you to reach this community with the gospel. God wants to use you to reach your neighbor, to confront them with the gospel. You say, I don't know really how to share the gospel. I don't really know what to say. I don't really know if I have the courage to speak to them. God wants to use that weakness. God wants to use that. And if the very little, you bring a soul to here where God's word is preached, God can save souls. God can do some things through your weakness that you would never imagine. And God began to overcome Moses' excuses. And in chapter 4, verse 1, where we read, it says, "And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me." He said, they're not even going to believe me. I can go tell them this message, but they're not even going to believe me. They're not even going to hear what I have to say. They will not hearken unto my voice. And for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. He goes before Pharaoh and says, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. He said, Pharaoh's not going to believe that. He's going to say, that's not from God. That's not a message from God. He was doubting God, what God had called him to do. If you jump over to chapter 4, verse 10, he began to make some more excuses. He said, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of the slow tongue. He said, God, I can't barely talk. He had a stuttering issue. He had a problem with his speech. He said, God, I can't even barely speak. Why would you have me to deliver this message? Why would you have me to do this? There's so many other men who would be more qualified to do this task. Let me tell you, God does not call the qualified. God qualifies those who are called. You see, God doesn't looking for talents. God's not looking for those with great speaking abilities. God's not looking for those with other special gifts. He's looking for those who are weak. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, but God, in verse 27, it says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. God wants to use the weak. God wants to use the foolish to show the world who he is. God wants to use those small things to show his glory. God wants to use your weakness. Let me tell you, if you are gifted and talented, God can still use you. You must realize that you're weak. You must realize that you're not all that. You must realize that I realize that I am a nobody from nowhere with nothing. That's what we must realize for God to use us. And so God was overcoming Moses' excuses. Began overcoming Moses' excuses, and God can overcome your excuses as well. You may be thinking of certain things in your life that are excuses, or certain things that, you know, I can't do this. God called me to do this. I wouldn't doubt maybe if there's someone in here who God has called to ministry, and yet you haven't answered the call. You say, I'm not worthy of this. I can't do that. You can't, but with God, you can. God will enable you. God will strengthen you to do it. And we must realize that no matter your excuses, God can use you in spite of your weakness. Next, we see that God can use you because of his sufficiency. Because of his sufficiency. Let's see in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 11. If you want to turn there. We first must realize that you have to obey God. And if there's any sin in your life, God doesn't use a dirty vessel. God wants to use those who are right with him, those who are clean before him. And so we see our sin when we see God's holiness. And Isaiah chapter 40, we can see God's holiness. In verse 11, it says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. God is loving. God is loving. God cares for his people. God cares for this world. If you don't believe that, look to the cross. Look to the cross. Look at the sacrifice that Jesus paid for our lives. God is loving. Verse 12, it says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Wow, just think of God is our creator. I think if God is our creator, just imagine holding the water in his hands and meeting out the heaven in a span. Our God is amazing. Our God is a big God. Our God is our creator. Verse 13 says, who hath directed the spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him. God is all-knowing. Nobody taught God anything. God is all-knowing. God knows more about us than we know about ourselves. Verse 14, with whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? God is independent. God does not need our help. You see, God has some things that he wants accomplished on this earth, yet he doesn't need our help to do it. But God wants to use us. God wants to use us. And if you decide that you don't want to be used by God, God will find somebody else. God can still accomplish the task without you. But God wants to use you, and God can use you. Jump down to verse 21. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? God is sovereign. That ties into the last one. God is in control. God is in control of your life. God is in control. You have a free will, but yet God is in control of the way things are happening. Verse 31. I like this verse. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God is ready to strengthen you. God is ready to strengthen you. God is willing to use you, to strengthen you, to give you the ability to do the task that he has called you to do. God has called us with the Great Commission, as we call it, to go into the world, preach the gospel. And God wants us to do that. God wants each and every one of us as a church to go and reach our communities, and God will strengthen us for that task. If God has called us to do it, he will enable us to do it. He will strengthen us to do the task. So we see here God's holiness. We see some attributes of God and his attributes of who he is, his holiness. And when we see that, we can see our sin. We can see that we are nothing, that we are small. I was reading the other day in Psalm, I'm going to turn there. If you want to turn there, you can turn there as well. Psalm 39. It put me into a perspective of who I am. Psalm 39 and verse 4. It says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. God, make me to know what my life really is. Make me to know how short my life really is. I am frail. In verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. My age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. At our very best, we're just vanity. We're just nothing without God. I realize that, once again, nobody from nowhere with nothing. So realize that, you realize your sin, and as you obey God, you trust God, you get things right in your life, you can be willing to be used by God, God will use you. When you're willing to be used by God, God will use you. We see next that God boosted Moses' faith. God can boost your faith. If you want to turn back to Exodus, God can boost your faith. In chapter 4, in verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And it cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said to Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. He said, Moses, what is that in your hand? A rod. Folks, if you have nothing but a rod, God can use that. If you have nothing, you don't feel like you have many talents, you feel weak like Moses did, God can boost your faith like he did with Moses. He said, cast that rod on the ground. And he did, and it became a snake. And he said, pick it up by the tail. And he picked it up, and it became a rod. And then he said later, put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and he said, pull it out. And he pulled it out, and it was leprous. It had the disease, leprosy. And he said, put it back in your bosom. And he put it back in and pulled it out, and it was made whole again. It was made back to normal. And he said, take some water and pull it out of the river and take it out and dump it on the ground. And he did so, and it became blood. You see, God did some things in Moses' life that boosted his faith. He said, Moses, realize that I am God. You're making excuses right now, but realize that I am God. I am on your side. I will help you. In chapter 3, verse 12 says, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Certainly I will be with thee. Folks, we have the promise today that God is with us. God is on our side. And when God's on our side, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to worry about. God used something in my life to kind of boost my faith here. These past few months, I was out knocking on some doors and just inviting some people for an Easter program. And I went to this kind of these apartments, and there's this little birthday party outside. Looked like it was for like a little kid or something. And these guys were sitting around at a table. And so I went up, and I didn't want to interrupt their party, but I wanted to invite them. So I just went up to these guys and handed them an invitation. And they were very nice and kind, and they said, "Would you want to have a drink or anything?" And they're drinking alcohol, and I was like, "No, no." And they're like, "Well, do you want a soda or water?" I was like, "You know, I might take a water, I guess. You know, that kind of sounds good. It was a hot day." And so I grabbed a water and said, "You know, have a seat. We'll want to visit with you." They said, "Well, when you first came up, I thought you were a Mormon." I said, "Oh no, no, definitely not." And so we began to visit a little bit began to explain to them, on the invitation. And we got the conversation on the gospel. And I asked them, if you were to die today, would you be sure that you go to heaven? And one of the men sounded, he seemed like he was saved. And the other man said, "I know that I would go to hell." And so I began to focus on him and began to talk to him. And I said, "Well, you know that you go to hell. Why do you say that?" He said, I'm involved in some very wicked things." And he started explaining some of the things, and it was just very wicked, even satanic. So I began talking to him about Christ and about just going through the gospel, and explained to him that he can be saved. I think I talked to him for about an hour, we went through things, and he began to understand. But he said, if I accept Jesus, I'm just going to go back to the way I was living. I just know it." I said, "You know what? You might, but you accept Christ. You have Christ in you. You will have the strength and power to overcome these things in your life." And he didn't quite understand it until the very end. He finally said, and I don't believe he was just saying this. He meant it, and he said, "I need to get saved." And he prayed right there. And as he got done praying, I was encouraging him and giving him some assurance. And I said, I'm just so proud and so thankful that you decided to make the decision. You know, the angels in heaven are rejoicing over you just repenting of your sin right now." And he just kind of had his head down, and he had a hat and sunglasses on. He started to bring his head up, and he had this biggest smile on his face and a tear coming down his eye. And there's no doubt that God worked on his heart in that moment. He said, "You know what, I know that God can help me overcome these things." He received Christ, and he had the strength. God used that in my life to boost my faith, that God wants to use me. I don't know half the things that I told him. I allowed God to use me. Folks, you can allow God to use you. You can allow God to use you to reach your community this week. There was a wise man in the town, and there was also a town skeptic. The town skeptic decided he wanted to try to trip up the wise man. And so he got a little bird, and he said, "I'm going to take this to the wise man, and I'm going to ask the wise man if this bird is dead or alive. And if he says it's dead, then I'm going to set it free. But if he says it's alive, then I'm going to crush it in my hand and say it's dead." So he went to the wise man. He said, "Is this bird in my hand dead or alive?" And the wise man said, "The answer is in your heart. The answer is in your heart. See, if I say that it's alive, then you'll crush it and say that it's dead. But if I say that it's dead, you're going to set it free. The answer is in your heart." Folks, tonight the answer is in your heart, whether you would allow God to use you, whether you would allow God to do the impossible through you. The answer is in your heart. It's up to you whether you're going to be willing to be used by God this week. Realize that you are nobody from nowhere with nothing, but with someone you can be something to somebody. You're nobody, I'm a nobody from nowhere with nothing, but with someone I can be something to somebody. We must realize that today, that God wants to do the impossible through you and I.
Thank you. Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com, or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.